It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thomas Wolfe famously stated, "You can't go home again." However, millennials in Pittsburgh are not taking heed. The city, along with Cleveland and Albuquerque, to name a few, was recently listed as a town luring back its townies. Here to tell us more about this trend is business contributor Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University, joining us by phone today. Good day, Rebecca.
Hello, Paul. It's nice to talk to you. I can't wait to talk about millennials, but maybe we should have this conversation virtually if we want them to hear our discussion. What do you think?
Yeah, that might be the best way to reach them. But I understand that Pittsburgh just turned up on a list in The Atlantic. What was the report about?
So an article in the November 4th issue of The Atlantic listed Pittsburgh as one of the 9 metros, quote, where millennials can make it now. And the way that they put this study together was very interesting, Paul. The places were not rank ordered. They were grouped by category. So Pittsburgh turned up in the category of towns luring back their townies, along with Albuquerque and Cleveland, as you indicated. And what the towns have in common is this. They have young people loyal to their hometown who have either stayed on, returned after college, or stint in a major metropolitan area, and felt that they realized that they need their hometown as much as their hometown needs them. So as we know, Pittsburgh has been on the list lately of all the hot places to be, and from higher education to arts to culture to sports to business opportunities, we've become a destination city, and we're glad for it.
So let's talk about the demographics of millennials.
And we did a lot of research on this. So millennials, and they're also referred to, Paul, as Gen Ys or Generation Y, are people born basically from 1980 through the early 2000s. The age range is 18 to 37, and they make up the largest population cohort the U.S. has ever seen. They are 86 million strong, and it's about 7% larger than the baby boom generation, which came of age, as we know, in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. So millennials total 27% of the U.S. population, and that number is going to rise, too, due to a number of immigrants coming into the country. Millennials are really the children of baby boomers or Gen Xers, and here's what they spend. They account for an annual $1.3 trillion of our national consumer spending, or 21% of the total. And it's predicted that as they hit their stride, they could help lift GDP growth as well. So that is really amazing.
And what about the specific attributes of millennials? Obviously, these are people that are tech savvy for sure.
Absolutely. They are the first generation of kids to grow up with the internet and computers in their homes, as I can attest from my children. They tend to fast forward through ads on TV. They spend hours huddled over their smartphones, even if they're in the same room as the people they're talking to. Many of them would rather communicate using text messages, Instagram, or Twitter rather than pick up a phone. So it's a very interesting demographic. But I'll tell you something, Paul. Many people have really dismissed the millennials as a lost generation with very few job prospects and big student loans and a bleak future. However, millennials, most of whom reached adulthood since 2000, could really surprise America and the world in the coming years with their economic might and their spending power. And part of the reason is this, from industries from housing and auto to retailing to financial services really could be transformed by their collective demands. And this is also a group, Paul, that has known 2 U.S. wars. They've known mass shootings. They've known terrorist attacks, the financial crisis, lean years, graduating from college with attempts to get into adulthood and careers. So they are far from slackers, and I know a lot of times the media portray that, but they really will continue to progress up the economic ladder, and they will move into their higher earning years soon.
We're talking with our business contributor, Rebecca Harris. She's director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. So what do millennials want as they move into the workforce?
This I found really interesting as we looked at some of the statistics and the numbers. So millennials are currently working in the business world, and they'll continue entering it for really years to come. And it's really vital for companies everywhere to learn and to adapt in order to retain this group of really talented employees. So here's what millennials want. They really want continuous feedback. They want recognition, and they want access to opportunities that are, those are main things that this group really values. And if organizations today can provide these to its employees, they'll have a greater chance of retaining them and solving one of the growing problems in business around the world, which is retention. Millennials also want leadership, and they want it in a very open and transparent way and really inclusive leadership. And I think they're very different from earlier generations, I think, and from what we see. They're less concerned with moving up the ladder of a company and having set role descriptions as they are moving around and growing as a broad business leader. They're willing to locate abroad. They're willing to take chances. And I think if we, as the people who work in companies and those who run companies, can really create very effective and vibrant workplaces, this will be a great place to have millennials and have them really help be successful parts of the team.
And you know, we were talking at the top of the segment about how Pittsburgh is, along with Cleveland and Albuquerque, listed as a town that is luring back its townies, you know, luring back its natives. And the things that the millennials can bring to the workforce, we address those. What will keep the millennials here or lure them back? What are the opportunities available for them here?
I think when you really look at some of the companies specifically in Pittsburgh that are very technology focused, that are very innovative, we certainly know we have the eds and the meds, and then we have manufacturing and technology and innovation. And this whole kind of group and segment is very vibrant. As we've talked about before, Paul, we have a number of incubators in the area. We have a number of startups. We have a number of co-working spaces. But more than that, we actually have people in the community who are willing to mentor and help younger people coming in. So if they're starting a business, they get a lot of support. There's good opportunity in terms of entering large corporations here. We have a number of large corporations that have stayed here, and that's really exciting too. So it's that combination of all those things, plus, don't forget, arts, culture, sports, all that good stuff that we have here that really makes for a vibrant city.
And what's in it for the companies that hire these millennials? You talked about some of their attributes, but why are millennials good for business? Because that's the bottom line.
It is the bottom line. So here's the thing. One of the characteristics of millennials, besides the fact they are masters of digital communication, so if you don't have a millennial in your workforce, you need to go out and get one right away. Millennials are really primed to do well by doing good. There's this real sense of doing good for society, and I really value that. I think it's very important. Millennials are willing to create change in how work gets done. They work in teams. They use more technology. In a study that I read, almost 70% of millennials surveyed said that giving back and being civically engaged are really high priorities. So I think as we look at it, Paula, we know that the millennials are going to definitely rule the world, and I think our job now is to really make our organizations ready so that these millennials can slip right into place and help us lead our businesses in future directions that are going to be very different than what we used to do.
And you talked about them or referred to them as Gen Y, and you know, for a long time there we were hearing about Gen X.
Yeah.
Is there a different work ethic among the Gen Ys?
Well, and I think millennials and Gen Ys, as we use them interchangeably, are probably different than Gen Xers. I think the Gen Ys or the millennials really want to be included in high-level discussions. They're willing to be flexible. They very much want sort of an inclusive leadership style. And we didn't see all those attributes in terms of looking at what the Gen Xers or the generation ahead of them really was looking at. Plus the technology and the innovation and the ability to sort of work quickly in this technology world is really a very important quality that millennials have and that really our workforces need.
Talking with Rebecca Harris, Director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. I hear this Saturday, Rebecca, is a big event for small businesses, which will affect everyone, millennials, Gen X, boomers, etc. What is happening?
So Saturday, November 30th is Small Business Saturday, and it's been designated by the SBA as a day to celebrate and support small businesses and all they can do for their communities. So if you join with the SBA and organizations across the country and supporting your local small businesses by shopping at small businesses, and I think that's very important. So many of our businesses here in Pittsburgh are small businesses. They make up our vibrant neighborhoods. They really engage all of us, and we count on them. If we didn't have our local shops and our coffee shops and all those, Paul, it would be sort of an empty Pittsburgh. Don't you agree?
Yes.
Yeah,
there wouldn't be a lot left.
No, exactly. So we have a lot of information on your website about ways that businesses can get information from the SBA, so they can go to your website and check that out and really publicize Small Business Saturday.
And before we let you go, before we get to Small Business Saturday and Black Friday and all of that, there is, of course, Thanksgiving. And that's coming up the day after tomorrow, this Thursday. Right. And it's actually Thanksgivica, as we've been referring to it. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But it's a day right. that not only is Thanksgiving, but also is the first day of Hanukkah. And something tells me you're one of those who will be celebrating Thanksgivica. So tell us, are you excited about that?
I think what's really nice about being in Pittsburgh and having the opportunity to do all the different holidays is that Pittsburgh has so many different neighborhoods and opportunities for you to get everything from, you know, the latkes for Hanukkah to the amazing fresh turkeys from local small butchers to vegetarian and vegan food. We have a lot of stores that specialize in that. I think everybody's needs can be met, and I think small businesses are there to really meet those needs. And we have a good audience to really get there and patronize those small businesses.
Well, Rebecca, I want to take this opportunity to wish you not only a happy Thanksgiving, but really a happy Thanksgivica.
And, Paul, have a wonderful holiday, and our best to all of our listeners, and we'll check in next week.
Thank you. We will do that. Thank you, Rebecca. Rebecca Harris, joining us by phone, is director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, an interview with author Amy Tan, who wrote The Joy Luck Club. She's here to talk about her new novel, The Valley of Amazement, and other aspects of her illustrious career. And we'll get you ready for that once-in-a-lifetime holiday of Thanksgivica. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.